Make your way to Luke chapter 11. We're going to be in Luke chapter 11 after the prayer. We're going to be in Psalm 51 before the prayer. So after you've made your way to Luke chapter 11, put a finger in that spot and then turn to Psalm 51. Some very common words from Psalm 51 before we pray. Verse 16 and 17, in the Psalm of David, after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do pray with me here. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for a society and a culture that takes the opportunity to represent the great value that mothers have by giving them a day. God, we thank you for the women in our lives who have borne us and raised us up and tried to educate us as much as they could. God, we pray now as we study your Son's word, that we would address him as one greater than any mother, with the ability to make us born again and to educate us as best as we allow. God, we pray that today that there would be nothing that hinders us from taking his word seriously, and in taking it seriously to allow it to convict our hearts. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 11 is where we will be. I'm going to immediately read the verse that we are in. Verse 28, but he, that is Jesus, said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Last week we discussed how Jesus apparently had tons of people yelling during his messages. Whenever Jesus taught, someone felt the need to scream something from somewhere. Today, it's not a blind individual. It's a woman. And the statement that that woman shouts is very common to us, especially us Protestants. We like to quote it as if it has some reference to Mary. It says, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This response from Jesus actually has nothing to do with Mary at all. It's the misconception of an individual that they placed on Mary. Let's do a quick, brief history lesson. There was a creation, there was a fall, and there was a blessing given to the only woman on earth at the time, Eve, that her seed would step on the head of a serpent. That promise continued to Israel in the form of a Messiah, one who would redeem him, redeem his people, redeem all the promised nation of Israel. And there was no single spot more coveted in the Israeli society than to be the mother of the Messiah. None. Think of any high title, high position, high blessing in today's society, and I can guarantee you that the Jews treated the mother of the Messiah more than any, valued it more than any of those other positions. President, Pope, all of those positions would fall under the glorious blessing that was perceived to be the mother of the Messiah. And there is good reason for that. In fact, if you look in Luke 1, this is going to be the only context verse that we are going to look at to show you and prove to you, one, that Jesus' words have nothing to do directly to Mary, and two, my point, that this is a very valued position. We have Mary's cousin, Mary's relative, Elizabeth, upon seeing Mary come, She exclaims in verse 42 of Luke chapter 1, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greetings came to my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Is Jesus Christ contradicting the blessing from Elizabeth? No. Is he saying that that blessing doesn't exist? No. But it's secondary. It's secondary to an even greater blessing. And the source of that blessing is not who you birth. It's not who your mother is. It's not what your title is. It's not what your position is. Jesus Christ makes it clear to those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Now you might think, well, that doesn't much mean anything to me. I'm not a Jew, and for at least 50% of the people in this room, I'm not going to birth the Messiah, or couldn't have birthed the Messiah. That's true. That is very true. But just like Israel had its covenant and its structure and system in which they valued themselves, we have our own. The reason why I read Psalm 51 is because it helps remind us in very practical terms. We can very easily read David's words, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it." Let me give you a modern translation of that. "You do not delight in me coming to church every Sunday. You do not delight in me coming to Sunday school. You do not delight in me doing my Bible study and then ignoring your word, or I would bring it." He says, "You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings." Let me give you another new translation of that. "You do not take pleasure in the songs I sing when I don't mean them. You do not take pleasure in me quoting your word when I don't live it. You do not take pleasure in me praying to you when I'm truly praying to myself. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart." We may not be waiting for the Messiah. No, we've become much more clever than that. Give us enough time, we'll convince ourselves of anything. And we've convinced ourselves instead in church to look at one another and say, "Blessed are you because you teach Sunday school. Blessed are you because you work in the child care. Blessed am I because I preach." And Christ's words are, no. No. "Blessed rather is he who hears my word and keeps it." Mothers, are you blessed because you have faithful children, like Mary was blessed from Jesus? No. Children, are you blessed because you have a faithful mother? No. Church, are you blessed because you're a part of the church? No. Your church membership has nothing on Mother of the Messiah. The number of people that you've had come through your Sunday school class that went on to be great missionaries or great pastors or great preachers has nothing on being Mother of the Messiah. The Lord wants nothing to do with those unless you have a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. It doesn't matter if you preach the word. It doesn't matter if you share the gospel. It doesn't matter if you study memory verses. You memorize whole books of the Bible. The Lord convicted me this week. Satan has done each and every one of those. He's got verses down. I can guarantee you he's in church every Sunday, deceiving somebody, possibly even from pulpits. And you best know that he shares the gospel. If you've ever had an encounter with certain denominational cults who claim to be Christians, you know that Satan is very aggressive in sharing the gospel when it's distorted. And get as close to the line and send you to hell. None of those things are of any value in the kingdom of God unless you hear his word and keep it. Or as Elizabeth said to Mary, "Blessed are you because you believed he would do what he said." Or as David said, "The offering you want is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart." There is no separation between these three things. The church that is proud of their church membership We need to just change the designation. We are Pharisees. If you can look past in your last 3 years of life and the highlight of your life has anything to do with an event other than keeping the Word of God, you are a Pharisee. Those are where the primary blessings come. Jesus says, no, blessed are those who hear my word and keep it. That's where the primacy lies. And nothing else we do and nothing else we obtain, as the Apostle Paul would say, he counts it all as rubbish. But that's for another time. So how do we even get to these blessings? Christ gives us two clear ways. I've already mentioned them, but we've actually got to dive into them. He who hears. You know what? God speaks. That might sound simple and stupid and redundant. Of course God speaks. But do we actually live like He speaks? Parents know this. Mothers, especially on Mother's Day, know this. When you speak and your children do not listen to you, and they do not hear. God speaks. Do we read our Bible? God speaks. Do you pay attention when His Word is being read to you? God speaks. You know what? He's speaking all the time. Most of us don't take the extreme consideration that when we're not dwelling on God's Word, as David said, on your law I meditate day and night, we are droning out God's Word. He speaks. We're to hear. Jesus says, blessed is he who hears the Word of God. Now to Israel, who was the predominant Word of God? It was the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ placed Himself in the middle of their time, their history, their place. And He said, I am now the speaking, living Word of God to you. And what did they do? They rejected Him. What good is your being of the line of the Messiah? What good? I can only imagine it, how people were walking around saying, I live next door to Jesus. I'm from the place Jesus is from. What good is it when you reject the hearing of the Word? The church just has to start there. God speaks and we need to hear. Now, unfortunately, for a lot of us, we're okay on the hearing part. We have deceived ourselves into thinking that we hear when we read our Bibles in the morning. We have deceived ourselves into thinking that we hear when we come and hear a sermon. Without a broken and contrite heart, those are the offerings God wants nothing to do with. If you read your Bible and you don't allow the Spirit to speak, you're in sin. If you come here on Sunday morning and you listen to a sermon and you do not allow the Holy Spirit to speak, you're in sin. Blessed is he who hears. Blessed is he who believes. O God, a broken and contrite heart. Unfortunately, we don't just have to hear. Jesus Christ says, blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. And keep it. I don't think I need to place any extra conviction on the fact that most of us fail to keep a large portion of Scripture. And yet Christ's blessing is on those who hear the Word of God and who keep it. Not on those who are in the church based upon where their parents grew up. Not those who happen to be here because they're visiting their mother or their grandmother. Not on the mother who invited their children or their grandchildren. But on hearing the Word of God and then keeping it. When we study the Word of God and we follow it, we act as Mary did. And we receive the same blessing that Mary got. Blessed are you for believing. When we study the Word of God and we keep it, the sacrifices in Psalm 51:16 do become useful to the Lord. because they are precipitated by a broken and contrite heart. There's nothing wrong with studying your Bible. There's nothing wrong with going to listen to a sermon. There's nothing wrong with sharing the gospel. There's nothing wrong with teaching Sunday school or leading a children's group. As long as you have a broken and contrite heart, you are reading and hearing the Word of God and you are keeping it. Christ wants those who obey Him. He doesn't want people who come and listen. He doesn't want people who are going to show up and claim their inheritance based upon their 85-year church attendance. He doesn't want those who have memorized the entire Scriptures, as blessed of an event that would be. He wants those who hear His Word and keep it. Start small. Start small. The Lord's blessing is first and foremost to those who keep His Word. Start small. Today, we are going to partake in the Lord's Supper in a very unique way. After just calling us to task concerning our relationships and how they do not get us into heaven, I want us to partake in the Lord's Supper in a manner that respects our families. We're going to have the deacons come forward, and we are going to set up tables in the four corners with the elements and the heads of households. As you hear the Word of God and you respond to keep it, to do this in remembrance of Him, I would like you to take your family, to go and stand, take the elements and distribute them to your family in the hearing and the keeping of the Word of God. And this is going to be our first opportunity to celebrate the fact that we're not blessed because we're of the church. We're blessed because we're faithful. And the new covenant of the Lord, shed by His blood, the first commandment He gave was, do this often in remembrance of me. Or as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And for many of us, we need to start small. Hearing His Word and keeping it, we are going to sing a song of invitation and then partake in the Lord's Supper. Some of us, for the first time, however, must address Jesus Christ as Lord and the purveyor of that new covenant. For some, this is going to be just another useless sacrifice as they partake. Without a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, because of your sin, because of your lack of faithfulness, the admittance that I have heard God's Word all my life and not kept it. And David, to soothe us, says, the sacrifice the Lord wants is a broken and contrite heart. As Jesus says, hear my word and keep it. We will begin to practice that with the Lord's Supper today. If you'll pray with me.